Call the meeting to order, and if you're here, please check in on the computer. We have 29 board members present. That is a quorum. Let's stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we'll continue with the chair's report, and we have supervisor conference reports. So, did anybody have anything interesting happen in your life in the last, since we last met? Any supervisor conference reports? Seeing none, all right. Administrator report. Mr. O'Malley, have you had anything interesting happen? Who had their hand up?
I thought they were.
Oh, Vicki Burke.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just for the information of the group, yesterday I had an opportunity to tour the U.S. Fish and Wildlife building that is located on the prairie. And several years ago, we had a great deal of controversy about the area. And I would just like you to know that the owner, Mathey Corporation, and another property owner out there, Saracen, cooperated greatly in making this U.S. Fish and Wildlife building a great addition to the prairie. There's over 170 acres there devoted to will be devoted to a sand prairie and some walking trails and other things. And I had a chance to tour the building in August. They will be doing another tour. It will be finished in February 2012, and the grand opening will be in May. But there will be another opportunity to see what's happening there in August. It's a LEED certified building. They are looking at silver and possibly gold, and it's just was a great addition. So if you have an opportunity to see that.
Thank you, Vicki. Bev Mack.
I just attended a portion of the solid waste annual meeting, and the two speakers I heard were John Caters from Short Elliott Hendrickson Incorporated and the UW Green Bay, and I'm looking for the other guy, Marty Seaman with Resource Recycling Systems. And the topic was, what is the future of recycling? They gave a lot of ideas of what they're doing with other, the Marty, especially the other cities that they're involved with. But I just want to give you some comments that I thought were good that could deal with solid waste, or it could be anything that the county's dealing with. If I can find my underlined notes here quickly. Okay. Never let a crisis go to waste. Look at the situation and make changes. Make decisions on a community-wide basis. Build the system that works for your community. Apply the right tools to get there. And they emphasize that we have to look at every community. Every community has to look at their own situation. You can't look at what some other county or some other area is doing and say, oh, that's for us. You have to look at your own area and work together. He talked about Saginaw, where they formed their authority first before they even knew what they were doing, and the county didn't become part of the authority but facilitated the authority. And another area, they said, oh, we don't want to be an authority. We don't want to be an authority at all. So they ended up calling what they were doing a consortium. And they have binding interlocal agreements and have built through contracts. So there's all kinds of examples of what different cities are doing, different communities are doing. So I have a slew of notes that I gave to Tara, and she can probably keep some of that wisdom. And that's about what I want to say.
Thank you, Bev. Bridget.
Thank you, Chair. On April 29th, I attended a Wisconsin Counties Association Steering Committee meeting for Judiciary and Public Safety. The guest speaker was the chair of the Sheriff's Association, and his main topic was the upcoming upcoming law on conceal and carry in Wisconsin. And there was a lot of discussion about it. And the Sheriff's Association, by and large, believes in the right to bear arms, but will not support a straight constitutional conceal and carry. They believe there have to be restrictions if that law comes in. So they will be lobbying for that. And they asked the Wisconsin Counties Association to join them in that.
Thank you, Bridget. Don Bina.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Two things that have happened since our last meeting. First of all, the funding for the RC&Ds totally went away. The feds took it out of their budget. So we are planning on being a nonprofit organization. We have two brand new contracts, one in forestry and one for invasive species. And we have three other contracts. We lost our coordinator because the feds took the money out of the coordinating position and they're putting the person in another position on a, I'm not sure if that's temporary or permanent basis. So we are going to still retain our RC&D as we had it. And secondly, I did attend the county's Ag Advisory Committee at Stevens Point a week ago Friday, and I have some paperwork that I didn't bring along, and I will give it to Mr. O'Malley about the budget as it relates to agriculture, so I'll bring that down next time I come.
Thank you, Don. Brad Conkle.
Not exactly a conference report, but I did a couple ride-alongs with the La Crosse County Sheriff's Department with the K-9 unit. It was great to see what those guys went out and did on a daily basis, and I'd like to thank them for their service. They
do. That was a voluntary ride-along, Brad?
It was in the front seat, not the back.
All right. Just checking. Any other conference reports or similar things? Okay, Steve O'Malley.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, I have two proclamations. Law Enforcement Public Safety and Courts Month, May 2011. Whereas in a free society, law enforcement is entrusted and expected to protect the civil rights of its residents and visitors to our community. And whereas La Crosse County employees serve to enhance public safety in the courts, district attorney, sheriff patrol, and jail, emergency management coordination, medical examiner, and public safety communications. And whereas thousands of residents and visitors are helped each year by the professionals who respond to emergencies and assist those in need, now therefore be it resolved, La Crosse County Board does hereby proclaim the month of May as Law Enforcement, Public Safety, and Courts Month, and urges all residents to join in recognizing the valuable contribution of persons dedicated to ensuring the safety of its county's residents and visitors to our community.
Moved by Vicki Burke, second by Brad Conkle. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
This next proclamation is at the request of the Joint City-County Harbor Commission and will be considered, I believe, as well by the City Council in an upcoming meeting. Whereas La Crosse County Joint Board of Harbor Commissioners is in conjunction with the U.S. Coast Guard Auxiliary are committed to promoting safe boating on the area's waterways in preparation for the 2011 boating season. Whereas knowledge and skills are important to creating awareness of the risks involved with water safety, causing citizens to likely take the precautionary measures to protect themselves and their friends and family. And whereas safety awareness campaigns have contributed to a substantial decrease in the number of boating fatalities per year in the U.S., 2004 having the lowest number of fatalities in the history of the statistics, and whereas the vast majority of these accidents are caused by human error or poor judgment, not by the boat equipment or environmental factors, and whereas a significant number of boaters who lose their lives by drowning each year would be alive today had they worn their life jackets. Now, therefore, we, Matthias Harder, Mayor, City of La Crosse, and Steve Doyle, County Board Chair, do hereby support the La Crosse Joint Board of Harbor Commissioners and the U.S. Coast Guard Auxiliary in their efforts to promote safety in the area's waterways and proclaim May 21st through 28th, 2011 as La Crosse Safe Boating Week and urge all those who boat to wear it and practice safe boating habits, dated the 9th of May in the year 2011.
Moved by Don Meyer, second by Jerry Sobranek. Any discussion or questions? All in favor say aye. Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. Update on LEC edition ceremony.
Yes. You'll notice that due to some scheduling conflicts, we're moving the dedication. It was to be scheduled for last Thursday. It will be the night of your county board meeting, May 19th. It will be at 4:30, just prior to your regular county board meeting. So we're having it then rather than last week, and we sent out notices on that. So if you can join us, it's just before the board meeting. There will be available if folks want to be able to see some of the new offices. There won't be a complete tour. Board members can obviously arrange for a separate tour, but if you want to see probation, parole, justice, sanctions, that area, between the ceremony and our regular county board meeting at 6, that will be available.
Okay, thank you. Jeff Schrader.
Is that in the entranceway?
Yeah, it'll be right in the entranceway, and if it's nice weather, it'll be actually outside rather than at the screening security. It'll be outside right there by the flag.
Before we go on to executive committee, I have one quick announcement. I think people know at this point, Brad Conkle, 5th District, is leaving us. He's going to a school out east, and so May is his last month on the county board, so we're looking to replace him, and we have interviews this Thursday. It was pushed back half an hour, so now starting at 11 o'clock. So anybody who's interested in joining me for those interviews is welcome to this Thursday at 11. Ray Ebert.
Yeah, I'm just surprised I heard it when the meeting announcement. When did the folks and how was it advertised for folks to go for that position?
I advertised it at the university through the political science department and the university's campus-wide email.
Okay, I think in the future it'd be nice, A, if we as a body were informed, and B, because we may know some folks in there that might be interested. I just think that's not really as transparent and stuff as we would like it to be.
Well, I would point out that I don't need to actually advertise it. If I wanted to, I could just appoint somebody. I try to open it up to get as many people as possible and also encourage board members to join me, even though, again, it's not required. I just think that's a good way to do it. And we're talking the student ward. We're not talking – when we've done it, other wards, it has been – we put it in the paper. But this is not a ward that makes any sense for. We advertise it on campus, which is where this representative comes from.
Well, one would think that the 5th District would deserve the same courtesy that the rest of the districts. And I know you being the bipartisan person that you would, I'm just surprised you didn't do it all, to like we do it with every other one. But I certainly understand you have that power, but you don't normally utilize it.
Well, I'm not understanding what you think should have been done instead.
I think that, I think this body should have been informed.
Well, you were?
Yeah, about it. 2 or 3 days ago.
Okay.
Because if we knew folks in the 5th District, we might want to contact. I just think doing it through the university yourself, I think it should have been published like we would do if it was any of the other districts.
No, it was published through the university. Campus-wide email. Everybody who is a student at the university should have gotten an email. Everybody who lives in that district would have gotten an email through the university.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. Appreciate your insight. Any other comments? Ralph Geary.
They had that email today, but we had a meeting at 5:15. Are we having that on the 19th at 5 o'clock?
Which meeting?
John Parshall was going to do the county email, and some people signed up.
Wasn't that tonight?
Yeah, but we had a meeting at 5:15. They did it at 5 o'clock.
Gary's got an update.
Oh, okay, Gary.
John said that there is one more scheduled, and that's at 5 o'clock on the 19th. And it lasts about 45 minutes or so.
Right, and we're expecting the dedication ceremony to last less than a half hour, maybe a half an hour max. It's a kind of a low-key event, so you should be able to make both if you want to.
Other items? Okay, let's go on to executive committee. Tara Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have item 5-3 to the honorable members of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors, a resolution regarding payment of Skipper Liner Industries, Inc. loans. Whereas the La Crosse County Economic Development Fund, hereafter known as the Fund, has participated with the U.S. Department of Commerce in making loans to Skipper Liner in 1995, 2005, and 2009, and whereas Skipper Liner repaid the 1995 loan in full to the Fund, however, the 2005 loan was in the amount of $750,000, and the balance of $254,610 remains unpaid, and no payments were made on the 2009 loan, resulting in the principal due and owing on that loan in the amount of $500,000. And whereas neither La Crosse County nor the fund have used La Crosse County property tax or sales taxes to fund any of the loans to Skipper Liner. And whereas in April 2010, Skipper Liner defaulted on repayment of the outstanding balance of the 2005-2009 loans in the principal amount of $754,610 and filed a Chapter 128 proceeding under Wisconsin statutes, which resulted in the appointment of a receiver. And whereas in the fall of 2010, Skipper Liner Acquisitions LLC acquired the real property previously owned by Skipper Liner and JBGSL Holding LLC acquired all of the bank loans that had a higher priority than the Department of Commerce and fund loans that were secured by the real property. And whereas a letter dated April 21, 2011 by its attorneys, Skipper Liner Acquisitions agreed to assume the debt owed by Skipper Liner to the fund and Department of Commerce under the terms outlined below, and whereas all payments on the Skipper Liner loans will be made to the fund and become a part of its revolving loan fund and made available for future economic development assistant loans, and whereas at its meeting held April 29, 2011, the fund board recommended that La Crosse County accept the offer of Skipper Liner Acquisitions that is outlined above to resolve the debt owed by Skipper Liner Industries, Inc. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the La Crosse County Board hereby approves the loan repayment terms set forth by Skipper Liner Acquisitions in a letter from its attorney dated April 28, 2011, that is outlined above, and authorizes the County Board Chair and President of the Fund to sign any and all documents necessary to accept the offer by Skipper Liner Acquisitions and to carry out the terms and or obligations required by the offer after approval of any documents necessary to complete this transaction by the Corporation Council. Fiscal note is that the outstanding interest on the unpaid loan balances at the rate of 2% from 2005 through July 15th of 2010 is $7,526.01. Under the terms of the agreement, Skipper Liner Acquisitions would not be responsible for the outstanding interest on the debt. Cost of closing this transaction and using reasonable efforts to collect the debt from Noel C. Jordan are undetermined at this time, but any such expenses would be paid by the fund. I move its approval and ask to retain the floor.
Moved by Tara Johnson, seconded by Jill Billings. Discussion or questions? Oh, go ahead, Tara Johnson.
I just wanted to make sure that everyone knew that it was unanimously approved both by the Economic Development Fund and at Executive Committee this afternoon.
Questions, comments? Don Bina.
I guess I was looking at the fiscal note. You're saying in the note that the new people coming on board are not responsible for the interest?
Past interest.
The past interest. Why wouldn't they? Wouldn't that be part of the total package that should be absorbed?
Quite honestly, they wouldn't have to do anything.
And I guess they wouldn't.
Right, no. So we're happy that they're willing to pay the amount in full. I mean, we were in second, third position, whatever, and so now they're putting us in first position, which is wonderful. We've never, I don't think in the entire time of our fund, ever been in first position for anything, if I remember correctly. So, I mean, this is a really good deal in terms of we will get this money. The $7,500 is a small price to pay for being bumped up to first position.
Okay. I guess that wouldn't be bad.
Yeah. Ralph Geary.
I wasn't going to ask about that, but that seemed like a low amount, $7,500 for so many years' interest, but that wasn't even going to be my question. Is there monthly payments then going to be about $2,000 a month?
Gary, do you have
would
that?
You take the $754,000 and divide it by 360?
Yes, it'd be about $2,700 a month, approximately.
Okay, and then they just knock that off the principal, and at the end we'll get a $500,000 balloon or something?
Right.
Okay, and with Campbell, are they offering the same conditions or whatever?
Bill, what can you tell us about, or Steve, either of you, what can you tell us about where things stand with Campbell?
We can't go into a lot of details, but they've been discussing issues on a similar basis, trying to help out with Town of Campbell. It's a little bit more complicated because
There are issues related to the lease of the harbor, the loan, but it is very positive. The discussions keep working on, but it's a little bit more complicated for Town of Campbell. And I've been in touch with their chair as well as their administrator and Mr. Smith, their attorney. So we're just positive they're going to be able to come to an agreement as well. But it shows a sign of good faith to be able to resolve this with the loan, with the revolving loan fund first, and allow them to continue to work ahead.
So any other questions?
There aren't a lot of details to report at this time. It's still, in negotiations.
Any other questions or comments? Seeing none, all in favor say aye. Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Item 5-4 to the Honorable Members of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors regarding approval of bid for landfill gas compressor installation and pipeline construction for gas-to-energy project and transfer of funds. Whereas the La Crosse County Board approved an agreement with Gunderson Lutheran and Envision LLC to use biogas for energy from the county landfill in Resolution 40-8-10, which obligates the county to complete installation of a compressor and gas conditioner at the county landfill site and to construct pipeline from the compressor to the generator located at the Gunderson Lutheran on Alaska site. And whereas to ensure on-time delivery and sales tax savings, the Public Works and Infrastructure Committee approved purchase of the compressor and gas conditioner in January of 2011, and staff subsequently advertised for bids for the compressor installation and pipeline construction to fulfill the obligations under the agreement. And whereas sealed bids were received and publicly opened on March 8, 2011, and these bids have been reviewed for qualification of bidders and costs, and the lowest responsive bidder is McHugh Excavating and Plumbing for $1,238,664. And whereas the 2011 Solid Waste Department total budget for the Gas to Energy project was $1,450,000. And whereas the total project cost with the lowest responsive bidder plus a 5% contingency of $57,000 will result in a total cost of $1,776,818, or $326,818 over the 2011 budget for the projects. And whereas over one half of the additional costs were final design modifications to reduce labor and maintenance costs, provide increased automated controls, allow remote monitoring, address permitting requirements, accommodate pipeline alignment constraints, and enhance revenues while increasing the project payback by only one additional year from 5 to 6. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the La Crosse County Board does hereby approve the bid of McHugh Excavating and Plumbing, Inc. in the amount of $1,238,664 for the combined contract A-11 and B-11 for the landfill gas compressor installation and pipeline construction as the lowest responsive bid in accordance with the bid specifications, plus a $57,000 project contingency to only be expended upon approval of the Public Works and Infrastructure Committee. Be it further resolved that the County Board Chair is authorized to execute the agreements to accomplish said work as approved by Corporation Counsel, and the Finance Department is authorized to make the necessary account transfers in the 2011 Solid Waste Department budget. Fiscal note is that approval of this resolution will be accomplished through the following transfers: $57,000 between accounts in the Gas to Energy Project Org 6515, account 64056, consulting to accounting to account 86050 Major Capital, and $326,818 from Solid Waste Operations Org 6500, account 86050 Major Capital, to Gas to Energy Project Org 6515, account 86050 Major Capital. I move its approval.
Moved by Terry Johnson. Is there a second? Seconded by Vicki Burke. Questions or discussion? John Menninger.
Well, I just had a question on the contingency. It's just an odd number. I was just doing my math in my head, and 3% would be 36,000 something, 5% would be 60,000 something. This is 57,000. Where'd you get that number?
If you notice, it's based on reducing the consulting from 250,000 to the So it's primarily in that area. Right. That's right. And it is approximately 5%, so we thought it was easiest to keep it that way.
Other questions or comments? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. Tara, can you take the next item then from redistricting committee?
Sure.
Well, I share that, but I would rather somebody else put it on the floor.
Well, this evening I don't think we have a resolution in front of you, but the packet that should be on your desk was several pages stapled together that starts with a matrix of county board sizes and ideal populations in city and out county. And what you see around the room that Jeff Blesky and Ron Roth are going to describe in much more detail are copies of what are labeled Supervisory Districts 29, and it's the preliminary plan 29-01 that is being recommended, that was recommended from the redistricting committee. There's also, I think, one copy to my left, to our left, of plan 29-02 that was considered by the redistricting committee, but we are proposing tonight the recommendation coming forward from the redistricting committee on a vote that escapes me right now, quite frankly, if anybody can help me with that. I think there were three no's.
I think 9-3?
Nine yeses and three no's, was for preliminary plan 29-01 to be used as our tentative plan that would then become the basis of the public hearing that we will be holding a week from tonight for consideration throughout the county. And with that, I will
Then the next step is we give final approval right at county board next Thursday.
That's great.
And then it goes on to the municipalities.
So it's the tentative plan tonight at the recommendation of the redistricting committee. It will be used at the public hearing the night of the 16th, and then the county board will vote on the 19th. Is that what you're saying?
That is correct.
Would have been so much easier if you had just done that.
You did a great job, Tara.
Yeah, thanks. So with that, I would ask
that
Jeff...
You should be chair someday. You did a great job.
Oh, wow.
Go ahead, Jeff.
With that, I'll ask that Jeff Blesky be heard.
Okay, I'm going to have Ron pull up... yes. Little background, this committee, or the roots of this committee, actually started back in 2006 when Sharon Hampson chaired a committee that was dealing with county board size and the possibility of a referendum. This redistricting committee started in October of 2010. And the primary goal of the committee at that time was to get updated on what their role was going to be in this redistricting process. There was a lot of statutes, a lot of rules that had to be decided. They had to come up with a list of principles. And in this PowerPoint, you're going to see that they did their job, and they did their job very well. Last month, or last week, I should say, they ended up adopting a supervisory plan that's up for discussion tonight. If I start out the PowerPoint by indicating some things that everybody might know, but for the ones that were on the committee, they know how the watch was made. This is for everybody that was not. So once every 10 years, the census is done, and that's why it was so important for La Crosse County to get a good count, fill out their surveys, and if everybody remembers, the county did a good job. The complete count committee ended up with an 82% return. 18% of the people that did not turn their surveys in, people had to knock on doors or give people a call. And because of the economic conditions that we're in, there was a lot of vacant property that showed up on the census. And that's in a little bit larger table that we're not going to discuss tonight, but all the city and village planners are taking a look at that information right now. So the goal here, all existing district and wards lines are gone. That's a key factor here, everybody. We're starting out with a blank slate. The first lines drawn are the county supervisory districts. The second lines that are drawn, maybe I can switch this here. Oops. You have to back up one. This was pretty fast. The second lines that are drawn, maybe it was more than one. Okay. I'll let you switch them, Ron. The second lines that are drawn are the wards. After the county board does their business on May 19th, officially the county clerk transfers the adopted map to each of the municipalities and they begin their ward process. So the principles that this committee ended up adopting and made as their priorities, with the highest being the equal population and then going down in the bullets. The equal population is, and I'm going to be referring to this handout that's on your desk in front of you, that top sheet. This thing keeps popping up, but it's very, very important, because if you take a look at the county board size on that handout, and then the column right next to it, that is the ideal population. That's the equal population that this committee's job was try to attain. So with the 29 supervisors, the ideal population for each supervisory district is 3,953. So the next principle was contiguous. That means that each boundary had to share a common boundary. They could not have islands. And I think there's only one island right now, and that's in the village of Holman. They have a water tower that's not contiguous to their village limits. The next is the preservation of communities of interest, which are traditional neighborhoods, ethnic groups, and common characteristics. We did the best that we could with that. The committee did. There was a lot of discussion on that. I think the city of La Crosse might be looking at traditional neighborhoods right now, and they might have some input at the public hearing on that. Ron? The next principle is the preservation of political subdivisions. Again, this is something that was really hard to do. A political subdivision is a local municipality, a township boundary, or a city boundary. Cities like to have their supervisory districts mirror their aldermanic districts, but in this case, this is not going to happen, because in the 29 plan, the city supervisors are going from 17 down to 13, so it's very hard to mirror that. And then the second bullet there is to try not to split smaller villages and townships. That was one of their goals. The next one is the preservation of school districts. For those that were at the last meeting and they saw the school district overlays, it's a horrendous job, and it would probably end up creating some islands as well. And the preservation of core prior districts. Again, they had that note there, only if not changing the number of districts. So that was very hard to accomplish when you're going from 35 to 29. And then the last principle is the protection of incumbents. We can kind of get into that later on, but I think that's the lowest common denominator for everybody in the room. One of the items that they had to consider was wards and the population of the wards. The city of La Crosse, you'll notice, falls between 39,000 and 150,000. They are required by law. They are the only municipality required by law to report voting returns or precincts and by ward. So the smallest ward the city of La Crosse could have is 800. And the largest ward they could have is 3,200. And I'm going to explain something right now, because the last time this group did this in 2001, the ward size was 3,200 as well, but the population of the supervisory district was 3,061. So that made it very, very easy for city supervisors and aldermanic council members to be coterminous. The two districts could be the same district, and that's how the city had it in 2001 and actually in 1991.
Jeff, if I can just jump in for a minute. A ward is not a voting area, however. A ward is a building block to a voting area. A district is a voting area, like your county board district. So in the city of La Crosse, because of their population, or because of the population of the county, it will be necessary for them to have two wards in each voting district if they would follow ours. They could do, if they don't follow our lines, they can do some different arrangement, but they will always have at least two wards in each of their districts. That's
be
correct.
That would be the minimum, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, yes. And it might even be more.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the reason for that is if you look at the population for 29 supervisors, which is 3953, if you divided that by two, that's about 1,800 people in each district. If the city of La Crosse still intends to mirror the county board supervisory districts with their aldermanic, because then they would have to have two wards in each aldermanic district. Ron? We kind of covered this. The impact of wards, it does not affect municipalities under 30,000. Even though they still have to create wards, the votes are not tallied by ward. Only in the city of La Crosse do they do that. Next slide. This is the timeline that has started the committee's intensive work, because after the census was done, all the information went to the president. The president certified the populations of the state that was performed by the U.S. Census and returned the population information to each state. The state, through the Legislative Service Bureau, broke down the information that was tallied and gave it back to us in the form of a Wisler software product, which is something that we use for the first time this year. All this table tells us is that for the county board of our size, we can't go any larger than 47. Next one, Ron. Okay, the redistricting committee's timeline worked through February. They appointed their committee. They included the advisory people in order to well-round that committee. There were people from the league. I don't think we had somebody from the Rotary, but there was citizen groups. And then the committee got educated on all the aspects of redistricting. Next one. In March, this is actually officially when the information came to our hot hands. It was March 21st. That started the clock ticking. The committee had 60 days to get their plans done. So while this train was kind of being painted and going down the tracks, they were looking at how are we going to determine the number of plans that we're going to look at. The committee did a lot of voting. It's in the minutes. About 3 months ago, they settled on a 27 plan, a 29 plan, and a 31 plan that they reviewed. And a couple of meetings after that, they reduced it to the 29 plan that's in front of everybody right now. I think Steve and Tara, supervisors, have already indicated that we have to hold a public hearing. The public hearing that's going to be on May 16th is the first one. The second one is when you adopt the county ordinance that accepts all the districts with their legal descriptions. Next one, Ron. We kind of covered this three-step process. It's three 60-day sessions. The counties will finish theirs on May 19th. The next 60 days, all the municipalities will get a chance at creating their wards. Then it comes back to the county to do their job one more time. Basically, that's a proofreading. It's editing. It's taking a look at do all the wards cover all the property that they're supposed to. And then the county does their second resolution and public hearing. This is how we got our information. It came in the form of computerized maps. The Wisler is the legislative reference program software. And basically, the task of drawing up all these maps had to happen in a 2 to 3 week period. And it, I would say that between Ron and I, we've got probably 2 weeks in it. Ron's probably got majority of that. Next one. I think we kind of covered the ideal population. That's on that second column on your handout. The equal population statute, and I'll never forget our corporation council giving everybody a talk on this equal population a year ago, along with the standard, the federal standard, which is a 10% deviation. But the reason for the high ideal is one person, one vote. You're representing the same number of people. One supervisor isn't representing 100 people more than the lowest populated district, which might be 100 people less. So that deviation would be 200 people. So in the plan that's on the wall, the deviation is only 1% in the highest. That would be like 40 people. And the lowest district would be a minus one, which is like 47. So it's only about 80 people difference. Okay? Ron? These are the things that are not supposed to happen. Packing is concentrating minorities into one district. Fracturing is just the opposite. It's breaking them up, diluting their voting strength. And then gerrymandering is probably the worst thing that can end up happening, and that's trying too hard to create a district. It violates the principles of contiguous and compact. It looks like somebody's trying to do something. Ron? The other considerations are naturally ward size, aldermanic districts. The clerks have been involved in this process. Unincorporated villages, we've got some of those, but it didn't come into play. Prisons was, in some other counties, a real mess because some of the prisons have over 2,000 people in them, and in these counties have only got 15,000 people. So the districts are way out of whack. So if you can actually explain away why a district has more population in it and everybody agrees with it, it can happen. The ballot styles is something that might come up tonight if the county clerk has any issues with that or any other municipal clerks, but we might hear more at the public hearing. Ron? A little bit more on the ballot styles. It could end up creating some additional cost, and our committee did hear about some of those. Next one, Ron. I think we covered everything on here. Except the middle one, we cannot adopt multiple plans. It has to be one plan when it's taken to the county board. Next one. I think we've covered that. The resolution is going to be coming up on May 19th, and then we send the adopted tentative plan to the municipalities. Next one, Ron. We can kind of skip this because this is just more for information. This is the municipality's job after the county board is done. August and September is when the information comes back to this board to react to the final plan. Next one. This is the official letter from the Wisconsin legislature. It's dated May 21st, so everybody knows that we don't have any time after May 19th to do any more plans. Next one, Ron. This is the chart that you have in front of you. The committee wanted the dates back to 1980. So we've got 1980, 90, 2000, 2010, and we even took it out past that for some projections. But if you look at the middle column, that's the 2010 numbers that the committee had to deal with, and that is the population of the municipalities that you represent. Next one, Ron. This is the chart that you have in front of you. I'm just indicating that this was a big part in what the committee used. Next one, Ron. This is on your handout. It may be the second or third page. This is the breakdown by minorities within each of the civil towns. This one here, Bill Shepard might cover if we get to it. He shared this with the committee, maybe it was two meetings ago. Next one, Ron. And this just describes a little bit about your when this process goes into effect. And maybe the county clerk can hit on that maybe a little bit later. And I think that's it, Ron. So The other handout that I did not have on the screen, and Supervisor Ferries had asked for this last week, and it just escaped me until about 4 o'clock today. I said, I got to get this in there. But this was a study that I think Clerk Stone had put together. And she had, at the request of this committee, she had polled all the counties, gotten their population, if they had an executive administrator, finance director, the current county board size, and if they had considered reducing. This was their replies. So I can't even tell you if it's exact, good or bad, but Supervisor Ferries had asked for this for whatever help there is. That's all I have, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff. I think what we need to do now is get the committee recommendation on the floor. So, Tara Johnson, if you want to move to put the committee recommendation on the floor.
I move the redistricting committee's recommendation to adopt as the county board's tentative redistricting plan, the preliminary plan 29-01, as indicated on the maps around the room.
Is there a second? Seconded by Don Meyer. Discussion, Jim Burns.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a point of information. the agenda is noted as a review recommended tentative plan. So are we, now that there's a motion on the floor, does that mean we're going to be voting on the tentative plan this evening, or are we just reviewing the tentative plan?
Giving it tentative approval.
Tentative approval, okay.
In other words, what will happen, is, assuming that passes, is that Corp Council will draft a resolution for consideration at next Thursday's county board meeting, and then in between will be that public hearing.
Okay,
but we're doing sending something to the public hearing.
Certainly. So there, this is when we could amend that or whatever.
Well, you have multiple chances to amend it. It could be certainly amended tonight. It could be amended after the public hearing. It could be amended when it comes back from the municipalities in August, is it?
Mm-hmm.
However, the one thing that is important to note is at what point we can no longer change the number from 29 to something else, which is at what point, Jeff? Or Bill.
Before May 19th.
All right. Don Dina.
The first question, you're talking about the wards and the cities. It doesn't affect the townships at all, does it?
No, it does not.
Because the townships are going to have to put up with whatever we come up with. I guess, I'd like to hear the discussion as to... I think you've had 27, 29, and 31 districts for a while. I'd like to hear a little of that discussion as to why you decided on 29 versus 31 or 27.
Anybody want to respond to that question from the committee in terms of how we landed on 29 versus another number? Tara Johnson, would you like to do that?
I see Supervisor Billings' hand up.
I voted against this, but I can tell you what the reasoning was. I think the reasoning was actually pretty sound. If you look on the first page at the total deviations of 27, 29, and 31, 29 was, as someone referred to it, as the sweet spot, where it seemed that there were there was very little deviation. And that was our number one criteria as a committee, to the one person, one vote.
In population.
Right.
Correct. Other discussion or questions? Ralph Geary.
How did all the citizen members vote on this?
Joe Heim voted yes. Margaret Larson voted yes. Jim Urshan voted yes. Those are the three citizens, right? Okay, yeah. Jill Billings.
Maybe it would be easier if we said the no's were John Mettinger, Audrey Cotter, and Jill Billings.
Okay. Thank you, Jill. Other discussion or questions? Jim Burns.
So essentially, we're looking at two big policies here. Number one, the reducing of county board supervisory districts, and then secondly, where those districts are going to be found. Is that really what it comes down to?
That is correct.
Okay. Thank you.
And after next Thursday, there's only one policy decision that could occur after that, and that would be the specific lines within the context of 29 districts. What will happen is We'll get input at the public hearing from any citizens who are interested. I assume some people from the City of La Crosse will be there. If we would decide to make any changes at that point, it could change the number of districts, but then after the 19th, you could not change the number of districts anymore. Tara Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would just offer an addition to what Supervisor Billings gave as the answer to Supervisor Bina's question, that there were a number of themes that came up in the course of conversation in the redistricting committee's many meetings, and I think those minutes are online. I don't know if they'll be in our packet for next week. They should be. Mm-hmm. But the issue of one person, one vote was predominant in our discussion, and when you, as Supervisor Billings said, when you look at the top chart in the packet that Jeff handed out, 29 comes closest. It's, you know, so the math is with the number 29, really, I think is what that tells us. The other issues that came into account that we spent a lot of time talking about was this issue of the City of La Crosse and the county being coterminous in supervisory district lines and aldermanic district lines. And I think we started out hoping that that would happen and spent a lot of effort trying to make that happen. So that was another theme of a major part of our ongoing conversations. The third thing I should note is I'm seeing folks from Onalaska here. We did also ask other larger municipalities and their clerks in particular, but elected officials as well, who came to the meetings regularly and participated in the conversations, was to, whenever possible, to have, for lack of a better term, the accurate number of county board supervisors representing a municipality. So if you take a look at the second page in your packet, the landscaped document that's marked La Crosse County Census Data Population, and then it's distributed by municipality. If you go to the 2010 population column that's highlighted kind of in the center of the page, keeping in mind that 29 supervisory districts put us at the ideal of 3,953 per district, you know, you just kind of wander down that list and you see that the town of Campbell needs one plus supervisors, but they don't need three. And you look at the City of Onalaska, for example, and they need at least four, but they don't need six or seven. And how this came into play was in some of the map drawings, and currently the 35 that we have actually really dissect some of those municipalities into more supervisory districts than they need. And that also causes problems in those municipalities for ballot style and confusion among voters. So that was another kind of, if that's making sense to folks, I'm kind of looking around there to see. You know, we were trying to make sure that we had the right number of county board supervisors for the population based on 29 total for the county. So that was another major theme for us in our conversations, and I just want to make sure that board members understood that. So we spent quite a bit of time on a number of issues. There's no randomness to this. There's no, you know, it was well thought out, and then Ron went to work drawing maps and did an amazing job of that. And last thing I want to say is to publicly thank Ron and Jeff and the entire staff for coming up with the data that we needed to do the work that we needed to do on the committee and the actual map drawing that I know was very time-consuming and not easy in and of itself, let alone any visitors and comments and commentary that he may have gotten in formal and informal ways doing that work. So
I'd like to follow that up. When the committee met second to last time, these discussions occurred, such as West Salem should have two supervisory districts and so forth. And Ron took all of those comments, and he created, I think, did a great job, and really appreciate all your effort in that respect. Arlene Bendridge, you're up next.
Thank you. I guess I have a question. why would we want to reduce the board? This would be putting more work and responsibilities on our board members, which I think we have a lot of good board members. By state statute, we could have 47 members, which you've already seen on the sheet, and I called WCA to get this corrected, and that is correct. So according to our population, we could have 47 board members. So instead of eliminating six positions, let's add six onto 35, and that brings it to 41, and we still could have six more. Thank you.
Audrey Cotter.
Thank you, Mr. Doyle. I have a question which I haven't managed to clarify, and again, I would reiterate the compliments to all of the staff working on this. The first 60 days is the county's area of responsibility. The second 60 days is the city. And what exactly can the city do within that 60 days, other than if they wanted to rubber stamp what's ahead of us?
Because the supervisory plan that the county is working on is a county board plan. It's nobody else's plan. I hate to be blunt like that. But when the city gets the county board plan, the city works on wards and wards only.
Okay.
So after March 19th, there really should be no changing. There might be some minor tweaking if somebody finds something where there's an error or something, but 29 would end up being the plan if the county board changes or accepts that on the 19th.
Okay, and
it won't happen. It won't increase or go down after that unless it's a referendum.
Yeah, I'm not talking about increasing or going changing the size, mm-hmm. but I'm questioning the district lines.
That has to happen during the public hearing.
Okay, but it can happen.
Yes.
Thank you.
Bill wants to follow up on that.
I just want to emphasize that the city's responsibility is to create wards. We don't tell you how many wards to create. By statute, you're going to have to create at least two wards because of the population and the size of the ideal population. But you can create more wards and configure those wards into aldermanic districts, which could be different than the supervisory district lines. But what we require of the city is that you provide us with at least two wards within each supervisory district, but there could be more.
But the aldermanic districts need not necessarily be the same as the county supervisory districts.
That is true. I mean, you could create more wards and take those wards and form them into aldermanic districts, as long as you give us wards that are completely within the supervisory districts. You can't have a ward that is split by a supervisory district line.
Okay. Thank you.
Bill Feehan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So in terms of projected cost savings to our county government, we have six supervisors who are paid about $4,800 a year. So we stand to reduce the pay to county supervisors by, well, be under $30,000, and then whatever the cost of health insurance might be if that supervisor chooses to take health insurance. I just wanted to make that clear, because I think there may be a perception in the general public that this is going to save a great deal of money, which it won't. I believe this year's tax levy is about $30 million. My question is, is there any indication what the will of the public at large is in terms of this redistricting?
The public hearing is going to be probably the first stop for something like that. The city clerk at the last meeting had indicated that And I don't know if these numbers are true, but it was I'm going to throw out like $80,000 if they had to go to two more or another ward. Right now they have 17 wards. If they go to 13 supervisors, according to the county plan, at the minimum they would have to split each supervisory district into two wards. She thought that, along with the other combination of ballot styles during other elections, would increase the city's budget by, I think it was $80,000. There was a $20,000 number and a $60,000, but I don't know what relationship they were in either one.
One was projected based on
Audrey Cotter.
Sorry. One was based on presidential election forecast, and the other was based on a simple city or county election.
To further follow up on your question, Mr. Feehan, not recently, but am I remembering correctly that we did a general referendum a number of years ago on board size? Didn't we? Am I just imagining that? But I thought we did at the same time. I thought we did county exec, and I thought we did board size. No? Okay. Because I thought it came back saying that they wanted to reduce the board, and we increased it by one, and people got upset about that. So, okay. All right. Mr. Feehan, you still have the floor.
Thank you. I did have another question, which has slipped my mind now, but I'm sure it'll come back to me before next Thursday. The last thing I would like to hear, and I don't know if Supervisor Mettinger would indulge me this way, but being as he voted against this plan, I'm just kind of curious what he sees wrong with it that would cause him to vote against it.
Mr. Mettinger, do you want to respond?
Well, I was always for reducing the size of the county board. I think with the survey you were talking about was something done by the UW Political Science Department of Voter Sentiment or something like that, and it did come back. Okay. It was something I think Joe Heim's survey people did. And I always told people I think 35 is too many, and we ought to try to get down around 25, and just so that people, and to me it was a matter of accountability, that the less supervisors you had, the more accountable they are to the voters, taxpayers, constituents, however you want to define them. But in serving on the districting committee, it seemed to me that we were just causing a lot of turmoil, particularly in the city of La Crosse, by not having coterminous wards. And when Terry Lurkey, the city clerk, spoke at that last meeting and basically said that it's going to cost us $60,000 or $80,000, and ideally if the county board stayed at 35, which we have now, they could fit 16 in there and they'd be coterminous, and it would save a lot of hassle. And so I kind of just came full circle and said that maybe we better serve our constituents with less hassle than a smaller county board. But it was a close call on my part. I still think we're 35 is too many, but I'm just not sure the voters are going to like what they get with these wards that aren't county wards that perhaps are not the same as city wards. And I don't really think the city's going to go to 13. I've talked to quite a few council members over the last week or two, and I just don't see that happening. So we'll see. That's why.
Mr. Feehan, I'm going to say you still have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The other question that I had is how will this impact who serves on the many committees that the supervisors serve on? At present, we have county supervisors who are elected officials that are serving on these committees. Does this mean we will have fewer elected officials serving on these important committees and more appointed people? What's the impact of this on the structure of the committees?
Let me take a shot at that one. I think that it would behoove us to take a look at our committee structure after we have a final supervisory plan before the new plan actually takes effect next April, with the next election. If we decide maybe we want to reduce by one committee or something, I would not see adding non-elected people to the various committees. I think we're just going to reshuffle what we have, would be my 2 cents worth anyway.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Bridget Flood.
Thank you. I was going to ask when this goes into effect. I guess it's next April.
Well, officially April, but when you take out nomination papers December 1st of this year,
okay,
that is really probably the most important date for you to keep in mind.
Okay, then I need to ask Ron something. Ron, I live at 13th and Denton. What district would I be in?
You would be an 11.
11?
11.
Oh. I'll be the chair. I know they're going to be different.
Dan Ferries.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm really on the fence on this. I'm sitting here listening, and everybody's coming up with a lot of good points, and the one person, the one vote thing makes a lot of sense. As I look around the room here and I look at all the different faces, I think there's such a broad representation of walks of life. And I'm wondering, by reducing the board size to that extreme, 1/6, roughly, is that going to give us the broad representation of the public out there? I'm not saying, I'm not speaking one way or another right now on this, and I think public input is going to have a big determining factor on my vote. But like I say, with reducing it by a sixth, and there's a lot of people here that put in more time than I do on the county with different boards, are they going to have the time to pick up the fine time for the extra meetings? And if they aren't, even if people have a huge passion, as we all do, for this kind of work, are they going to physically be able to do it? And that's just something I want the county board to think about. Are we going to lose this demographics that we've got here with, and I'm retired, I mean, so we've got teachers, retired teachers, we've got factory workers, we've got farmers, state legislators, we've got a lot of different people here, and it represents the body out there. Are we going to look at reducing it by six, or are we going to be able to say a full-time employee, family member, father, mother, going to be able to commit to this, or are we going to look at a lot of retired people? Not saying anything, I'm retired, not saying anything against retired people, but when it comes to some decision-making, are they going to be as broad-minded as what we have today? That's all I've got. Thank you.
Ray Ebert.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think the elephant in the room is citizen referendum. And I have to agree with the chair and his think that if we don't do something, the citizens probably are going to. And then it might be 12 or 15 or 17. It's any given number. And then you really see trouble. So I think I noticed the Tribune had a thing the other day, and it was overwhelming for reducing, and certainly was not a scientific poll. I did one with Terry Hansen several years ago, and it was overwhelming in our districts, which was 21 and 22. We did it through the Cooley News, a non-scientific, but it was like 70% for reducing. So I think the thought in the public is to reduce, and I'm not sure if it's for money or they just think government is too big. But remember, if we do nothing, the citizens may, and then you may really wonder what the numbers are going to be. So thank you.
Ralph Geary.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to echo his point, I was looking at that handout, and I seen St. Croix went from 31 to 19 due to a citizen referendum, and on her notes it said passed by a wide margin. On the last page it said Wood County went from 38 to 19. That passed by referendum, and in the commentary they said it's working out well. So the citizen referendums have made some sizable reductions when they've...
Any other discussion? Maureen Friedland.
I'd like to ask the question. There was considerable discussion of using 31 instead of 29. 31 would have a deviation of 1.6, which is a little bit more than 0.2, of course. Could I hear from someone who wanted the 31 why they thought that would work? I'd like to know a little bit more, or a refresher on why that one was not.
Anybody from the committee want to venture into that one? John?
Well, I was voting for all kinds of different numbers, I guess, but I think I made the motion for 31. And again, it was looking at, you know, with all due respect to everybody who doesn't live in the city of La Crosse, I was still trying to figure out a way that the county board could reduce and we could have coterminous wards. And 31 put the city council at 14 or 15, I think 14.
14.
And I thought maybe they could go from 17 to 14, but I think going to 13 was a river too wide, and that's all. I just was still trying to figure out how to accommodate the city of La Crosse. And
okay, so we would still have the opportunity to consider that if next week. If
up till next Thursday.
Right. Okay.
Audrey, you had your hand up. Did you want to respond also?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, my rationale, actually, between John and I, we made the motion and seconded it. And it again, because of the city, the effect on the city is losing four seats. The out county is only losing two. And so it makes a much bigger impact on the city elected officials. And my question at this stage is, the deviation shown on the 31 is minus 0.8% or plus 0.7%. Now, my understanding is that that is only a matter of a couple of people in each district. It may sound like it's quite a significant number, but as I say, that my understanding is the difference. Well, is it the 3948 from 3666? Is that, would that be
under the 31 plan? If you're looking at the deviation between mm-hmm. the city and the county, the lowest yeah. district in the city would have been a minus 32,
mm-hmm.
and the highest in the out county would have been plus 27. So that's about 59 people there.
But that's
from high to low.
Yeah, but that's just high to low. That's not consistent the whole way through.
No.
Yeah.
That's an average.
So we're not really talking about a huge difference in relation to the actual deviations, in my opinion. And it certainly would make life much easier for our city clerks and I think also for the electors. Thank you.
Jill Billings, did you have your hand up too?
Yeah, I also voted for 31, and my reasoning was along the lines of John and Audrey. I looked at confusion for voters and expense for taxpayers, and my hope was that the city of La Crosse could remain coterminous with the county because people are used to voting with like people in their district for same county board supervisor and city council rep, and it would save money on ballots. But it was, difficult. I felt like it was difficult to get a response from the city of La Crosse, from their committee that was looking at this. It was frustration in the committee, quite frankly. And I think some people on the committee sort of just were frustrated with trying to solve that solution, and that was maybe part of the reason some people just ended up at 29.
Don Vina.
A couple of short things, if I can make it that short. I guess I personally have a little problem going down too far. I remember one prominent individual about three and a half years ago when we had our old committee saying something about the fact that if we reduce it too far, we won't have any farmers on the board at all. And I look at the districts, and there are three big rural districts, and it is mostly rural, but I'm not sure what else has got put into the rural part of those three districts, and I haven't looked at the map very closely. But I guess I too would probably go for 31 rather than 29 if the city doesn't have to change districts, or they will change districts, but they can fit them into the system. So I probably will probably be voting against 29 tonight.
Actually, Bill had his hand up. Sorry, I skipped you, Bill.
Just one comment on changing the number of supervisory districts. Although, you know, I think as Jeff has commented, the last day that you'd really be able to do that would be at your regular board meeting on May 19th. You have to remember that if the public hearing is the 16th and we have 60 days, which probably expires about May 20th, maybe May 21st, if you change your mind on the supervisory district's number on May 19th, that doesn't give you much time to get this thing done. And you know, you have to understand that that Ron or Jeff have to recreate a new plan, you have to have another meeting, and you have to get this done before the end of the 60 days. So although you can do that, you're going to put a lot of stress on at least staff if you do that.
I guess the one thing I found in listening to my electorate out there, they don't want drastic changes. They don't want a decrease in the total county. And one county on the eastern side of the state who got cut is now going back to more because it's a too big of a workload on those that are there.
Sharon Hampson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I wanted to address specifically the 29 versus 31 argument. And it gets down to perception. There's a perception out there that if we cut the size of the county board, we're going to save a gazillion dollars, which is, frankly, just ridiculous. It's such a small part of the whole county budget. But anyway, I thought if we went to 31, people would say, oh, you're not serious. You're not really trying. But if we went to 29 and got out of that 30 decade, I think that might satisfy people, you know, that we're looking seriously at going lower. Without still, it will change our workload and it will change our committee structure, but not as horribly as going to 18 or 15, which they could come up with at a referendum. So I thought this was the best, 29 was the best number to hold off the possibility of a referendum.
Bridget Flood.
Thank you. Jeff, my impression from what the things you said on the handout was that the law charges this committee to do this, this, and this to come up to the number and to the things. And have they not fulfilled that to the best of their ability?
Yes, they have.
To me, I would rather have 35, but I think they did it to the best of their ability. I think they did it the way the law told them to do it, and I think we should go with it.
Other discussion or questions? Jim Burns.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think you're going to do this at the public hearing, but will you provide not just these maps, but detailed maps with streets so the public can see each district with streets?
They're on our website, too, aren't they, at this point?
I didn't see the streets on the website.
Yeah, the streets, the map that you have up on the screen is the one that's actually on the county website. When you zoom in, you do not have the streets. But that is one of my questions that maybe the county board can answer tonight. What do you want up on the wall? Because we're going to be in the county board auditorium. We had no idea how many people were going to show up. But do you want different plans up there, or do you just want a bunch of 29s?
Well, Mr. Chair.
No, more detail.
No, only 29-1.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, if I could give my response to that question. I think the maps are great. In terms of seeing the macro scan of the county. But I think to have an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper with each district with the streets, I think that is important for the constituents to see. So I'm not asking for 35 big maps. I'm just asking for an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper that had 29, basically a packet of 29 districts. That way, if a citizen wanted to see where they live and what street they're in, they could see that a little better. If that
and
makes
Jeff
any sense.
Jeff is nodding his head that he can do that.
Okay, thank you, Jeff.
Okay, Brad Conkle.
I was just going to say that the map on the website does have the streets. There are some smaller maps on the right that you just have to blow up to a larger size. So all you need to do is zoom into about size 200 or so.
Just the city of La Crosse.
Yeah. Oh, the outside. Okay.
The Unalaska didn't have all the streets.
Okay. There's a couple people who have spoken already. I'm going to get to you, but people who haven't spoken yet, I want to get to them first. And Bill Brockmiller, you'd be one of those.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I wanted to ask was, just got asked something quasi-personal, 14th and Tyler, am I reading that correctly? That would also be in the 11th district? And so is Bridget's, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. That's what I thought.
Audrey Cotter.
Thank you. The reason that I have supported the 31 is because I, in an effort to bring together the goal of the county and the stated goal of the city committee, which is they have indicated on more than one occasion that they believe we should not be changing. So I felt this was something that we could at least try and bring us all together to come up with at least contiguous districts. Thank you.
Vicki Burke.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As far as the problem of serving on committees or standing committees, it just seems to me that we currently have 7 county board members usually on committees. We would only have 6. So it really doesn't, many counties have committees with 3 or 5 people.
Yeah. Or you could have one less standing committee if you chose, you know, to merge a couple or something. I mean, there's different ways of doing it. Tara Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to make sure we all understand, I think this might be another elephant in the room, to use Supervisor Ebert's term, that while I am sympathetic to the city's challenges, the reason that the city faces those challenges is that they've lost population. And it is a smaller proportion of the county's population. And that's kind of a starting premise that makes it hard. It makes it very uncomfortable. I can sit here as a supervisor from the town of Shelby and not have to struggle with that in the same way that my colleagues from the city do. And I feel for you, and I wish it weren't that way. But the issue of the numbers being reduced for the city is because their population has gone down and is projected to go down. The city can still be coterminous with the county if they choose to. That this plan does not preclude that from happening. It would be easier if it was a different number, but it doesn't prevent the city from being coterminous with supervisory districts. And I think to the issue of cost, there will be some savings, there will be some increases in costs. Those will largely be front-loaded, I think, in making changes to configuration and ballot styles and so forth. But I don't think in any of the criteria coming from our charge at the redistricting committee, there was ever anything about cost. That we are charged with drawing boundaries that provide equal representation for the residents who live in La Crosse County. And again, the underlying premise is one person, one vote. And I was the person that Supervisor Billings referenced. 29 is a pretty sweet spot when you look at those numbers. There just is very little deviation when you look at those numbers, and to me that is very compelling. And I appreciate what Supervisor Flood said, that the committee did work hard and struggled through a number of issues and arrived at 29 with a very solid rationale. And I would encourage you to take that into consideration when you cast your vote.
Sharon Hampson.
Yes.
Anybody else? Maureen Friedland.
Yes, I'm wondering about the public hearing that we're going to have next week and how that's going to be conducted and what kind of information is going to be given out and who's going to give the information out. Because I have had experience with people in my district and other people say to me, oh, cut the county board size, cut the county board size. I'll stop at their door and say, what are your issues? And they'll say, cut the county board size, without really pausing to think of anything else. I think it becomes just something fairly easy to respond, an easy way to respond. But when I have further discussion with people and I say, look, this is why 35 people
works. We have broad representation. We have small numbers. We can respond easily. We're not going to save money. We can serve on committees adequately and so forth. I almost invariably get a response of, oh, I see your point. And yes, the county does work efficiently, and we're not having problems at the county level. And people seem to be okay with 35 after they get an explanation of it. It's not like we have something that's broken. I talk about how everybody has a chance to be heard, and everybody raises their hand, and everybody gets to speak once or maybe twice, and some people speak too long, but that's just is always going to happen anyway. So I do wonder about the meeting that we're going to have. Is someone going to say, well, this is why 35 works, this is why it doesn't work, or are we just going to have citizens say, you know, 17 or 6 or whatever, without any kind of basis or any kind of understanding or knowledge? You know, what happens next week?
I believe that the term is somewhat self-describing. Public hearing means we hear from the public. We don't tell the public. We hear from them. I would ask Jeff to probably give the same presentation he did tonight, and then present the maps. And I like Jim Burns' idea of having each individual supervisory district so people can look at them. But it's not our job to, when people show up, say, we got it right, you should go with this or you should go with something else. Our job is to listen to them. And then 3 days later, we do what we decide to do. But I look at next Monday as we shut up and we listen to them. And so I don't intend to call on county board members that night. And I'm not going to give any defense or attack on the plan that we're putting up. It's for us to listen to the public, and whatever they say, they say.
Yeah. Okay. Well, my response to that would be that I feel it's unfortunate that we're possibly driven by that elephant in the room, that there's going to be a referendum that's going to get us down to 6 or 11 or 12 or something like that, when we really have the affirmative obligation to discuss our board size with our citizenry and inform them, or at least discuss with them, share our opinions about what we think works or doesn't work. And then maybe we will decide to go down, and maybe that's the best decision. But I just don't like to be driven by this fear of a referendum when, you know, our response to that can be, this is why you shouldn't vote for it, or this is why you should vote for it, depending on.
I think that you make a good point in terms of, you know, individual board members having an opportunity to get your position out. I would encourage people, write letters to the editor. WIZM has a talk show. You can call into there. I mean, there's a lot of different forums that you can use to get the word out, but I don't look at next Monday as that opportunity. I look at that as a one-way street. We listen to them. But any other time, I'm certainly happy to have people express their opinion who are members of the board. Other comments or questions? Jill Billings.
I appreciate Supervisor Friedland's comments, and maybe in an effort to educate the public, or while we have people, a captive audience, it might be helpful to have our committee structure, information on our county board committee structure. So if nothing else, to educate people on how it all works out after you have the number 35, 29, whatever.
Yeah, we don't know what the committee structure would be. That's a decision that will be made later. I mean, if you want the current committee structure
right
up there,
that's what I would like. Yep.
That's fine. Bob Kyle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Maybe we should cut the board size down far enough that we have 5 or 7 or 9, and we each have an office and a secretary. Is that what they want to go?
I think just a county board chair is enough. That's my personal feeling, but I don't know. I might be in a minority on that one. All right. Any other comments or questions from the board? All right. The Donmeyer. Okay. I don't see any objection to that. I think we're ready to vote. So the motion before you is tentative approval of Supervisory Plan 29-1. Tentative approval meaning that is what gets sent to the public hearing next Monday. Let's vote on the computer for that one. Vote yes if you are in favor of tentative approval of 29-1. Vote no if you are opposed.
he's in. Okay, the vote is it? 19-10.
The motion passes on a vote of 19-10, so that will go to the public hearing next Monday. Again, that's at 6 o'clock, and it's just down the hall in the auditorium. That gets us to next item on the agenda, cards and correspondence over on the board. No meetings during recess. Suggestions for future agenda topics and announcement. I have one. Those of you who served on the board with Tom Rauch, actually the full board is aware, Tom died a few weeks back. There will be a memorial service this Sunday, May 15th, at 9 a.m., from 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m., at the Myrick Hickson Eco Park. From 9 to 10 is memorial service. From 10 to 11:30 is a fellowship brunch. So certainly want to extend the invitation for people to attend the service for Tom Rauch this Sunday, May 15th. Any other items? Jeff Schrader.
With that,
I would
Mr.
just
Chair,
like, excuse me, go ahead, Steve.
I wanted to interject on that particular item, I'm sorry. But the family did ask if you could let us know if you were going because they wanted a correct count.
Oh,
I know
yeah.
a number of us, again, sorry to interrupt, I didn't mean to be rude.
No, thank you, that's a good point.
Let either...
Let Janino.
A number of us have already said we're going to be there, but I'm sorry.
No, thank you, Steve. Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned that. Okay, go ahead, Jeff.
On a happier note, Saturday, if you've never done this, come and watch the World War II vets leave La Crosse, or at least when they come back from Washington, D.C. We're sending out a flight on Saturday morning. If you're up there by 6:30, 7 o'clock, you can see them get on the plane. You can listen to some of their comments. And then after that, you can come over to the town of Campbell and have breakfast at the fire hall.
All right. Thank you, Jeff. Maureen Friedland?
Yes. Going back to Tom Rauch for a second. Sorry. Both Steve and I are going to be sharing a few words, and Steve goes before me, so he'll probably have all the good stories to tell. So if anybody has anything that they would like said or just a little vignette of something that they would like repeated and maybe just something to add, a little color, a little understanding about who Tom was, send it to me, and I'll be really happy to share that. Please.
Bill Feehan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This board has been through some very difficult meetings this year, and I'm hopeful that we're going to get back to a more collegial relationship here. And in that spirit, I'd like to congratulate you on your election to the Wisconsin State Assembly. Congratulations.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you. Any other announcements or items for future agendas? Seeing none, I guess that gets us to Jerry Sobranek.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a point to ponder and something we should all think about from time to time, and that is... just because you're offended doesn't mean you're always in the right. That I move to adjourn.
Moved by Jerry Sobranek, seconded by Bill Brockmiller. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed no, carried unanimously. Good night, all.
Where are the interviews for Brad on Thursday?
3220.